Are you ready for the message this morning? Would you bow with me as we in prayer focus our hearts, our minds, and our being? Amen. Amen. I want to walk with you through the first chapter of the Gospel according to Mark today. And I want you to see this outline because this outline is going to be directing us as a church. And the Gospel of Mark opens this way. The beginning of the Gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, a voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing. The Gospel according to Mark begins with John the Baptist, not Jesus, John the Baptist. Jesus and John knew each other from before. They were cousins. They had been raised together in some way, shape, and form. But as adults, these two men knew each other and had been entering into a new type of ministry together. And so John comes, and Jesus goes to him at the Jordan and says, I want to be baptized. When he comes up out of the baptism waters, he heads out into the wilderness. There, he has a time of fasting, a time of quietness, a time of prayer. For 40 days, 40 nights, he was out there in the heat and the dry, simply forming who he was. And when he came back into the Galilee, the northern part up above Judea, he began gathering disciples. He started with four, Simon, Andrew, James, John. These four were from the same town, up on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. They were from Bethsaida, which was very close, just pretty much right next door to where Jesus was basing his adult ministry, which was the city of Capernaum. They began by going into a synagogue, and as Jesus was preaching on that Saturday, a man stood up and began ranting at him. This was a man with a spirit, and Jesus cast that spirit out. And that sets the stage for where we are at and what was going on. And as soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left, and she began to wait on them. I want to use the word home. One of the things that was incredibly important to Jesus was home. All of his life, he would be known as Jesus of Nazareth, even though in his adult years, he would not be specifically from Nazareth, but rather based out of Capernaum. As he traveled around the Galilee, as he preached, as he taught, as he smiled and laughed and cried, as he healed people, all of the things that he did, Jesus always came home. What happened inside of that? When he returned home then, even though this, at the moment, same area, same town, but this was his home area now in Simon and Andrew's, with Simon's mother-in-law's house. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many. The first word that I want to draw out is home. But the second word that I want to draw out of this is healing. But then, very early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Prayer was an absolutely crucial part of who Jesus was, of his ministry, of all that he did, all of his being. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they explained, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." Here are the four words that I'm going to draw out: home, healing, prayer, somewhere else. The question that I have been asking inside of this week: how is our church different than it was a year ago? I don't know that there has ever been a year in the life of this congregation, or pretty much any congregation inside of this United States, with the pandemic. It has changed us dramatically. And especially since we are now scattered and now beginning to come back together as we open the doors for live worship again, let me tell you what is happening inside of our congregation. And then next week, we're going to be talking a whole lot more about where are we going? What does the next year look like for us? So this week, I have been in conversation with people, and I've been asking them, how is it? How is it that our church is different from a year ago? I was drawn back into a conversation that I had months ago. This was with one of the members of our congregation, and he came to worship for the first time. It had been, I think, 6 or 7 months since he had been in worship. And inside of this pandemic time, what we know is that there is a very specific, very distinct pattern of worship for this congregation. One-third of the congregation, one-third of our normal attendance numbers are, when we have our doors open, they are here. One-third of our congregation is present online, and one-third of our congregation is disengaged. They're out there, they're just waiting, but not actively engaged at the moment. Well, when I was talking with this member, and I was welcoming him back into live worship, I said, "Hey, how are you, and how are things?" And he paused and then said, "We have lost so much," as he looked around the congregation. That quote has always stayed with me. We've lost so much. In many ways, this is very true. When you come into our sanctuary, when you are looking at the activity levels of our congregation, there's so much that we are not doing this year. But I've also been able to reflect on that comment and to say, oh my goodness, and there is so much that we have gained inside of this year. We are a dramatically different congregation than we were 1 year ago. Let me tell you about some of those ways. In many ways, we are a quieter congregation. And this is simply because there are fewer present. When we are out in the parking lot, then that means that we have about 50 in attendance, but we're separated by our car windows. When we are online in worship, obviously, we're not together. We're quieter. There are fewer present. And what this means is that as a congregation, we have been more disjointed. Now, that's all right. I mean, that was just a natural thing that was going to happen inside of all of this. But it means that we have had to explore new ways to move past being disjointed. And so here we are. We are different because we're online. We've been talking about going online for years, but not until we got a good, swift kick did we jump and make that. We love being online. This has become a permanent part of who we are. And as we go, we're going to be expanding and making that different, making that even more effective. One of the things that has been very, very telling: how are we different from a year ago? We drink a whole lot less coffee. One of the ways that we gauge how successful is a worship service: when we are live and in person, we gauge it by the coffee pot back in the fellowship hall. And when we run out of coffee, that's a good day. Oh, We're trying to figure that out again. But one of the things that we've also noticed, even though there's less coffee, there's more compassion. We have noticed that there has been a huge rising in compassion. And one of the reasons for this is because the pastor has been put on a very short leash. I'm not allowed to go into the hospitals and visit. I'm not allowed to go into the nursing homes and visit. I'm not allowed out into homes and senior care facilities. I'm not allowed into those homes where people are sick. The pastor's been put on a short leash. And what that means is that the ministries of caring and compassion inside of our congregation have skyrocketed. Our congregational care ministry, our health team, so many ways that we have been reaching out. It was an amazing thing when we got close to Christmas in early December. Some of our members came and said, we want a list. We want a membership list of who are the most vulnerable in our congregation. And they started writing letters. We have had hundreds, if not thousands, of letters go out inside of this last year simply by people throughout the congregation who have been caring, who have been picking up the phone, who have been calling, who have been saying, how are you? What's going on? We have had funerals. One of the things that I'm not looking forward to when life returns is the fact that people are going to come up to me and say, well, how is so-and-so doing? And I'm going to have to say, so-and-so died 6 months ago. We haven't had the ability to come together. It's part of that being disjointed. But then in the same breath, we have also been seeing births. It is amazing to see the new babies that are now showing up. And one of the things that we know when we come back together is that there's going to come a season in the life of this church in this next year where we have this whole series of baptisms as kids come in. What we have seen when we are talking about being more compassionate as a congregation, we are seeing that there is a whole lot more going on behind the scenes. People are paying attention. But they're also, at the same time, is that concern about feeling lost when we haven't had the chance to be together and to share with friends and to sit and sing. Yeah. And so on the one hand, inside of these moments, we have been more engaged and simultaneously more disengaged. When we're together, there are no bulletins. There still are no hymnals in our pews. And so we're standing by our safety measures very, very closely and very, very carefully. But now we look and see what then has also changed inside of this last year. Well, how about the word Zoom? We have become experts at Zoom meetings. Our board of trustees and our council, every committee that has been meeting and fully functioning has been meeting online. Rarely they get together and meet for brief in-person meetings. It means that we now have new equipment in our congregation, ready and moving and working because we're in new ministries. We have a new focus inside of our children, youth, and family ministries as we have been trying to experiment. How do we do distance learning with our kids? How do we pull our kids together? And even when the kids do come together, it's a different energy. It's a different presence. We have looked at this congregation. We have seen, because I have been watching you, the amount of participation and the way that people have stepped up inside of this community, this congregation serving the community, has been huge as we have been supporting the food pantry, commodities, Safeway cards, Good Shepherd Clinic. Our two preschools have been functioning powerfully after having been shut down for a while and then coming back, and now they are smarter and stronger and more able to meet the needs of their children and their families. Here's what I want you to see inside of all of this. We have a home. This church, whether it is this church building or this gathering of people, we have a home. And in the last year, what I have witnessed powerfully is the energy of this congregation reaching out in healing. as we have been seeking to heal our families, ourselves, individuals recovering from COVID, as we have been with families helping them to heal after the death of their loved ones from COVID. In this home, we believe in healing, and the way that that healing happens is with prayer. We have seen our prayer lives deepen as we have seen the pace of the church slow down, and we have had a chance to breathe, and we have seen the depth of prayer as it has gone out and wrapped its arms around this congregation and around this community. Why? Home, healing, prayer. And Jesus said, let us go somewhere else. What is this all leading up to? This is all leading up to the fact that this church, this congregation together, is going somewhere else. We are going into new areas. We are going to be going into new ministries. We are going to be heading in places that we didn't even dream of yet today. Today we stand in places we didn't dream of a year ago. A year from now, we will be in places that we have not even dreamed of yet. Because we are home, home to ourselves, but we are throwing the doors open and inviting a community to say, you need a home in Jesus Christ. There is the love of God in the midst of this crazy time. Home, healing, prayer. Because together we are going somewhere else. This is who we are. This is what I want you to know, that as we are together as a congregation, as we are the family of Christ, the body of Christ, the hands and the feet of Christ, that we have somewhere else to go in order to meet the needs of our community, our congregation. This is where we're going. May it be. May it be that you join us as we say that the reason we are here is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We do this when we know God, love God, and serve others. Join us. Join me. This is who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to give you thanks for the times and the ways that you have kept us, encouraged us, strengthened us in this year that has passed. And now a new year unfolds, and we're going to need even more of your presence, even more of your strength. There's so much that is to be done, so much healing that is to be brought, so much that we come to you in prayer with. Lord, guide us, that we are going somewhere else, and we know that you are already there. Guide us. Amen.